It is the year 2512. The 24th of Zhandrung, which is early spring by our world standards. We are in the Empire. The glorious Empire of Mankind, one of the mightiest nations of man in the old world. At least, that's what most people from the Empire would say. People from other equally powerful human kingdoms, like Bretonnia, Kislev, Tilia, Astalia, even the Border Princes, would perhaps argue, but no one can quite deny that the Empire is very big, and they have a very impressive military. Not only are there hundreds of thousands of men-at-arms, but also gunpowder is extremely useful, and the Imperial steam tanks are very impressive. Not as impressive as Dwarven military, of course, but still pretty damn impressive. The Empire, whatever you believe, that is the safest place in all the old world, and that even though there are threats coming from all corners, they are all being handled by the Emperor and his wonderful armies. This is not quite true. There are many enemies beyond the borders of man, and all of them quite dangerous. But perhaps even worse than the enemies beyond are the enemies within. For the Empire is full of corruption, full of danger, not just humans against humans, but darker things lurking in the deep woods. Indeed, the Empire is strong, but also, it would only take a little to bring it to its knees. We are on a road, a well-travelled road, leading to the great capital city of Altdorf, situated in the province of the Reichland. The capital is very important. It is, after all, the seat of imperial power, the home of the Emperor Karl Franz I himself, and truly an impressive city. We are following a coach as it makes its way. This road leads to Altdorf, but also eventually reaches Middenland and the city of Middenheim. On this coach are a number of individuals. This is not unusual, after all. It's extremely rare and extremely dangerous to travel the Empire by foot. Most people, if they are not in an armed squadron, will use coach, or they will take to the rivers, of which there are many, and go by boat. A safer way of travelling, although even this form of travel has its dangers. This particular coach is currently completely full. There is a lovely noble lady with her bodyguard and her maid. There is some other traveller, some sort of physician. And then there are our characters. They are currently riding on the top of the wagon. Why? Because there is no room in the main wagon. Or rather, there could have been room, but the noble lady was extremely, extremely adamant on not having to share her space with common riffraff. And so, a deal was made where if you didn't mind riding on the top of the wagon, you could come along. It's not completely uncomfortable. It's got places where you can secure yourself, and there is a small section with a bit of tarp, so that if it does start raining, one person could maybe get some shelter. The coach is being driven by two horses, and currently two coachmen, sharing an ale with themselves as they ride along. The coach isn't going as fast as it could, but that's fine. You should hopefully reach Altdorf within 2 days, if you keep at a reasonable pace. The road is long and unwinding, the woods surrounding the road dark and imposing. After all, a large amount of the Empire is still forest land, and the forests are thick and dense. Plenty untold dangers could wait inside. But hopefully that's not of a concern to our characters. Let us focus on one of these three brave adventurers. Why don't you tell us who you are, Kruger Hoffman?
Well, the man before you is medium height, golden brown hair and well-trimmed beard. He's wearing a leather jerkin and and has a short bow slung over his back. Yes, I am Kruger Hoffman. And though you might not be able to tell, I do have a bright future ahead of me. At least I am of the belief that thinking that will make it more likely to transpire. The road getting me here hasn't been easy. I haven't had an easy life, growing up as an orphan in Nuln, and with my adolescence spent on the streets in the company of rather rough and, well, sometimes downright nefarious folks, I know that the only thing you can trust in this life is yourself. And your only responsibility as a result is to get yours, get what you deserve, get money. And that's what I deserve, lots of it. And that is very much what I intend to procure. And that is why I am on top of this coach, this work that I have been hired to do, this work for the Crown Prince. 8 crowns per day, at least? Oof. This is going to be worth it, I'm sure. But it is a very, very uncomfortable way of traveling.
It certainly is. And yes, all three of you have been brought together with this promise of employment. You technically haven't actually been employed yet, but that's merely a technicality. You simply need to arrive at the location. You think one of the taverns? It won't take too long to find a big expedition being led by a Crown Prince. The Crown Prince Hergard von Tassenik of the Grand Principality of Oostland. It was a simple flyer that you noticed in your local tavern. This individual is hereby giving notice that he is currently resident in Altdorf and wishes to engage the services of a party of skilled adventurers. Employment is to begin as soon as possible for an indefinite period. Would-be applicants are forewarned that they shall be required to undertake a most perilous mission into unexplored regions of the Grey Mountains. The matter is of utmost delicacy, and absolute discretion is required. Remuneration is negotiable, depending on the experience, but a minimum of 8 crowns per person per day is guaranteed, in addition to a generous bonus on completion of the mission. No laggards, cowards, or dwarves need apply. That's what the notice said. Although granted, maybe one or two of you needed someone else to help you read it. And indeed, it sounds like an excellent proposition. Granted, 8 crowns a day doesn't come for nothing. An expedition, probably extremely dangerous. They probably, in fact, will only pay you on completion of the expedition, which is a good way of making sure that if people die, the money wasn't wasted. Still, a job's a job. Isn't that right, Siegfrieda?
All I know right now as I'm rocking backwards and forwards, side to side on this damn wagon, trying to read the book in my hands, because unlike some people here, I do actually have the capacity for literacy. Oh, damn it, I'm just going to put this to the side because there's no way I can read it under these conditions. Is 8 crowns a day, if I work on this little mission for a month, maybe two, that's enough to stock my own small library, maybe start my own physician's practice, become a name about town. Altdorf is definitely a place where I want to do something like that. I've been a physician's apprentice for far too long, already 23 and not yet a physician in my own right. I mean, I'm a small woman. You might call me willowy if you want to risk it. Pale blonde hair, pale grey eyes, pale skin, pretty much pale. I don't look like the body of health by any means, but inside I possess a resilience, a robustness that allows me to endure most diseases, most shocks, and most physical horror shows, which sets me in good stead. I mean, I've been, as I say, a physician's apprentice for many years. I have no family name because I was purchased by a physician when I was a child. So sometimes I go by Siegfrieda, no name. Sometimes it is just Siegfrieda. I was purchased to fetch and carry, to sterilize instruments when the physician cared enough to boil the sharp pieces of metal before hacking someone up with them. But slowly over time, I schooled myself on how to read his scratchings, how to perform an operation, how to detect a poison and determine the difference between that and a medicine. And My intellect, my knowledge of medicine has grown. I am sure that outside of the provincial burg that I have lived in for most of my years, I'm going to be able to reach my full capacity for learning and practice. But I can only do that by enduring this rough journey and finding gainful employment.
Indeed. Still, hopefully, not too much longer now. Not too much longer now. So that's two of our characters, but what of our final individual? What of you, Heinrich Schilf?
Oh, I desire something so much more important than money or knowledge. Something I have a little taste of as we ride on top of this carriage, and that is proximity to nobility. I am an aspiring duelist. Be hard to tell, given my ratty courtly garb stitched together from hand-me-downs. But if nothing else, the rapier on my side tells you that I fancy myself a bit of a talent with a sword. The woods are dangerous, but after freshly graduating from the apprenticeship of an old master, I too believe I am dangerous. Whether or not that's true remains to be seen. Compared to my companions, and indeed most Reichlanders, I cut an imposing figure. I am a hair under 6 feet 4 inches tall, about 190 centimeters. Suffice it to say, hitting my head on many of the small road warden outposts and taverns that we've already stopped at along the way. But the face, the body, is still a bit boyish. I look like someone who hasn't grown entirely into his muscles and has a bit of a lankiness that can make moving around these tight quarters atop the coach a little distressing.
And so, here are our three brave travelers, on the road, hoping soon to arrive in Altdorf and, well, make it big, so to speak. Granted, there could be a lot of dangers on an expedition, but surely you'll be fine. After all, you'll be with a crown prince, and he's probably going to have at least a dozen, 20, 30 very well-armed men with him. So why would you have anything to fear? And maybe when he says expedition, he just means a quick little jaunt in the mountains and back again to keep up appearances. Surely it's nothing too dangerous. So, here the three of you are on this road, this coach moving along. The two drivers are singing to themselves, something about dwarves, goblins, and killing, and drinking. You can't quite tell, the words are a little slurred. Perhaps you'd be slightly worried that they are too inebriated to drive, but at this speed it seems fine. As you look up skywards, it's the middle of the day, and already dark grey clouds begin to gather as it begins to rain. What do you do?
I look to the others on top of the, well, roof of the coach, and I just say, well, this sucks.
I let out a sigh that I've probably been holding in for quite a while, so it's an impressive, lengthy sigh.
I'll draw my hood over my head, I'll grumble, and casting a glare at the drivers, who of course aren't looking back at me, I should hope not, I mutter, those dingleberries are drunk. I did not save for weeks on end for this journey to be driven by drunk wagoners to Altdorf. If they send us off the edge of a ravine, I am... And I just mutter and mumble to myself.
They seem to think that it actually made them more skilled at driving the coach, though. I mean, I've met people who will swear that they are better sword hands when they've had a few.
Is that so?
I mean, they mostly ended up dead, but...
I've met people who feel like the best way to get rid of a chill is by sitting out in the rain without one's hood up. You know, wash off the grime, the miasma of sickness. I imagine it's the same kind of people who think drunkenness makes one drive in a more steady and confident way.
I wasn't the impression there was such a thing as a sober coachman.
Well, on that you may be right.
The coach bumps a little as you begin crossing at a crossroads, a big old wooden sign pointing in one direction to Altdorf, in the direction you've come from to Middenheim, and of course a few other smaller places. As you turn and begin going down a new road. The road here is slightly less straight, a lot more turned. You can't quite see what's ahead at all times here. The rain, luckily, doesn't intensify too much, but it is becoming a bit of a constant annoyance. Meanwhile, from inside the carriage, you hear one of the windows being opened as a head pokes out. A big, tall woman. Quite a mean look to her. You recognise the sort, Heinrich? They're the sort of person that you'd be quite familiar with. A fighter like yourself, although perhaps slightly more mundane. She looks around, briefly looks up you lot, and then just closes the thing again, saying, "Don't worry, my lady, only a little bit of rain."
Ah, damn it, it's Kruger, isn't it? Did I hear you give your name when you climbed aboard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to suggest then was a good time to empty our chamber pot.
That would have been fun. But I don't think they would have appreciated that very much, and we might actually have gotten thrown off the coach. We are not contributing as much to the coach company as the ones inside of the carriage are.
You most certainly aren't.
I'll wrap my book up in its wax jacket, and I don't want it getting damaged. Written works are rare enough, and they don't need to be spoiled by incessant rainfall.
Indeed, you take the time needed to protect your equipment. Luckily, you are sitting near that tarp, so at least you're getting the least wet.
What about you, then? I look over. Was it Heinrich?
Yes.
Are you skilled in letters?
I'd say half of the letters.
Ah, which half? Don't worry. I'm just trying to make light conversation. It doesn't come that naturally. I guess easier way to ask would be, do you have any favourite stories? Any... maybe something you can, a tale you can tell us for the journey?
Oh, I can't imagine any of the tales from the Riverlands are the kind of things that would interest folks so well-traveled as yourself. But I've seen a thing or three.
Oh, I'm not well-traveled. I mean, I could tell you all about the lengths, inch by inch, of corpulent bodies... guts, and whatever story they might tell, but outside of my own little village, and I don't know much of the world outside of what's been written.
Oh, then you haven't heard the tale of the outdoorsy duelist, Mr. Joseph Wick.
I can't say that I have, no.
Oh, it's a marvelous tale, the moral, of course, being hubris, but as a young man, he was an incredibly successful fighter, but the tale picks up well after he's retired, divorced, and alone. It's said that while walking one day, there was a bandit who came by. He bid the man perfectly well, willed no harm, but the bandit had other plans. There was a flash of steel, his favorite hunting dog killed in the encounter. And the remainder of the series is just about him seeking vengeance upon all the various bandits in the land.
And did he get his revenge? Or did he reach a grisly end?
Oh no, a grisly end almost immediately. It's a very short book.
Oh. More of a pamphlet or gazetteer.
I believe when the sellers came through, they used the word novella, but that sounds Bretonian to me.
Well, you would know it was a very popular piece in Bretonnia. You even think they made a play of it there. Or so you've heard.
Rumours, what comes through the taverns?
I've not got much time for stage tappers, in truth. I'll quite happily set a fire and listen to someone tell a story. Maybe over a cup of something, but sit there for hours on end watching people in makeup and wigs dance and perform... seems like a lot of time that I could be spent learning.
Kruger, as Heinrich and Siegfried are engaged in conversation, perhaps you start looking about a little. Would you like to roll a perception check?
I certainly would. I roll 49, I have 43, so that is a failure.
You begin looking about the road, the woods, It's all a little bit unpleasant out here, if you are completely honest with yourself. You are far more comfortable in cities, towns, villages even, but out here in the wilderness with all these trees, you can't really see anything. Not to mention that most of the time there's not really much out here to, well, let's say, use if one wanted to earn some coin. You're not a bandit, after all. You like stealing things that are easy to steal, like things beside a bed, for example, rather than inside an armored coach. So, I imagine for you it's not that pleasant out here. How are you feeling?
No, you're right. I feel a little bit out of my... Yeah, I don't feel comfortable here, really. In the streets, I can read the streets. I can read the people of the streets. I know how to disappear. I know how to be seen when I want to be seen and to not be seen when I don't want to be seen. But out here, these trees and all this rain that you can't find any protection from. No, I am not at home here, but I feel good about the fact that we will soon we will be in a city, or at least someplace better than this. The coach will take us there, and then I'll be able to contribute properly to this mission.
Indeed you shall. Sadly, that's why you do not see anything before it occurs. But the coachmen do, luckily. Something in the road causes them suddenly to bring the horses to a swift halt, causing the whole coach to lurch. Not so bad if you're inside the coach, but for the three of you, could you all roll an athletics check?
I fail by 14.
I fail by 1.
I fail by 4 success levels, so I'll try and use a fortune here to reroll this and see if it goes better. 10. That's 3 success levels.
Well, in that case, luckily for you, Kruger, you are able to quickly grab hold of one of the sides of the coach and steady yourselves. Sadly, Siegfried and Heinrich, you don't fly off the coach. That would have been very dire. But both of you suddenly, in mid-conversation, find yourselves flung down to the ground quite roughly.
Apologies. I seem to have found myself in a very untoward position with a stranger female. I will delicately begin to remove myself from the situation.
Yes, it's a bit of a clumsy attempt, but at least it's better than just remaining where you were, because it was indeed slightly awkward. How are you feeling, Siegfried?
I sigh and roll my eyes. It's not the first time something like this has happened in my life, and often people don't have the excuse of, we just hit a pothole. But I will allow him to extricate himself from the situation before dusting myself off. I'm not the kind of person to get all prim and offended by something, but I just say, I think we need to work on our balance a little, don't we?
So it seems an embarrassing mistake for a duelist to make.
Oh, you're a duelist?
Oh, well, aspiring, he says, with the classic male false humility.
So, whilst the two of them are getting themselves rebalanced, Kruger, you are the one who manages to keep your balance and actually see what's happened, or think you can see what happened. You look out and notice that the two coachmen are trying to calm down the horses. Whoa, there, Nelly! No, Nelly! Whoa, what's going on here? What's going on? It seems the road has suddenly been mildly blockaded by another horse. That's right. A black horse seems to be equipped with all the things you'd expect a coach horse to be equipped with, only there is no coach attached to said horse. It's currently just in the middle of the road, kind of ambling along and then looking at your coach, looking confused, for a moment a bit startled. Luckily, all the horses start calming down. But yes, there is a unattended coach horse in the middle of the road.
Now, this is interesting. If there's a coach horse that should indicate that there must be a coach around here. Perhaps bandits have gotten to it, or there's been some kind of accident. I look to the coachman, try to catch their attention. Shouldn't we stop and see if we can help them?
Hey, whoa there, friend. Whoa there. What? Help who? We don't even know what's happening yet. What do you reckon? What can you see? He starts trying to crane his vision. Currently, there is a turning in the road, meaning you can't actually see what's ahead. But obviously, if someone was to get off the coach and do a little bit of scouting, you would eventually see what waits in store around said bend.
If you can wait here, I can go and have a look, see what I can see. I mean, there might be some money in it for all of us if we can help someone who's in trouble.
Yeah, well, I don't. You're volunteering then? I reckon he's volunteering, he is, says the other coachman.
Well, it's always best to go together with someone. Heinrich, Siegfrieda, would you like to join me?
Oh, I'll never miss an opportunity for glory. You don't even hear me say anything. I'm already hopping off the edge of the coach.
If someone is hurt, it is my duty to help them.
Excellent. There very possibly might be someone. This is not a good sign, a coach horse like this by itself. Something bad must have happened. These are very, very valuable.
Two coachmen kind of just mutter and nod, seeming quite happy for you to bravely volunteer to check out whatever's happened. As you all get off, though, you will notice one of the doors open slightly, and a young lady pokes her head out. She is dressed in the garb of a servant, with a little shawl on her head, and she says,
My lady wishes to know what's the hold-up? She wishes to know what's going on.
We're just checking out whether someone has fallen afoul of bandits, a ravine, a lightning strike, or some other ill omen. So why don't you sit on your comfortable cushions, get some rest, maybe have a drink, chat about all of your coin, and we will return with news post-haste.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't possibly partake of a drink. My lady would kill me. To which you then hear another voice say, "Of course! No! Don't, what am I telling you? No drinking for you! Don't you dare tell my servants to drink, whoever you are!"
I'll help them close the door.
You go to close the door, meaning you briefly see inside. You see the fine noble lady herself, fiery red hair, very large headdress, currently clutching some sort of loot case close to her chest, looking at you with alarm. Alarm that you even come anywhere near the carriage. A larger woman, the one you saw earlier, is eyeing you suspiciously with a weapon in hand. Then, of course, there's the maid. And finally, there's one other individual. A very lanky man with a very long nose and a gigantic mop of hair, cut in a very silly-looking fashion. He's currently holding a book to his chest and looking at you very suspiciously as well. He leans forward and says,
This isn't going to hold us up long, is it? What is it? What is it?
Well, we don't know what's going on yet. That's why we're about to leave. But if there are, I don't know, bandits, highwaymen, a roving army of orcs that just so happens to have passed through the area, rest assured that it's better that we find out now than drive straight into them.
This man simply nods and grunts, getting back to his book. Immediately, it seems. The noble lady herself gives you a dismissive gesture and nods.
Very good, yes, I agree. Good, send the peasants out. That is their duty in life, after all. Good, yes, close the door. Livia, close the door.
The maid gives you an apologetic look and then closes the door.
I'll thumb to the person with the long nose and mop of hair. Maybe your jester can juggle for you while we're looking, and I'll walk off.
As you walk off, the door just being closed, you do hear someone very indignantly saying, "I am not a jester! What on earth? What on earth? Who was that person? Who was that person?" And you are all off. So, what exactly do the three of you do? Who goes first around this corner? How do you approach this situation?
Well, having taken the lead and volunteered to check this out, I suppose I would probably be the first down from the carriage, and I have begun moving up to the horse to try to investigate what is going on with that. And do I see any signs of what has happened, or any markings that would indicate what coaching company would be the owners of this steed?
Do you have any animal care or animal training skill?
Cannot say that I do.
I actually do have it if you need my help.
You will see me looking a little bit hesitant and looking back at the two of you, realizing that, well, I don't actually know all that much about horses. There wasn't really much room for horses on the streets of Nuln and the other cities I've been in. So I look to Heinrich and to Siegfrieda and say, would either of you be familiar with how to make sure you don't get kicked by one of these?
My family was much too poor for horses. I think you're on your own.
I know of horses mainly because before you can cut up a human, it's often better to start with larger animals. But luckily that does mean some have entered my care from time to time. And keeping them calm is essential. So I will approach from the front and make passive noises, aiming to stroke her nose and see if I can keep her calm.
Wonderful. Then roll animal care and give yourself a +20 to the skill, as it's not very difficult. The animal currently seems reasonably calm.
Well, with a +20 to the skill, I have a total of 71. And with that roll, I rolled a 25. So I think that makes many magnitudes of success.
For a moment, the horse looks you in the eye and does seem a little startled, but you are able to calm it very quickly. In fact, so quickly that it begins nuzzling against you. It clearly likes you and starts trying to see if maybe you have some food for it.
I've got some biscuits and just some dry provisions that I could probably feed the horse to help calm it. Is she bearing any wounds, or has she just somehow broken free from her bridle and straps?
Due to your success, it's very easy to examine. There do not seem to be any wounds at all on the horse. It does seem absolutely fine. However, there is evidence that it has indeed slipped its rein, so to speak. So while it still has all the things it should have on it, it seems to have gotten away somehow from the coach. But otherwise, it seems completely fine. And thanks to you now, very calmed. You notice one of the coach drivers just coming up a little, looking at the horse and nodding at you going, "Oh, well done there, miss. Well done. That's good. That's good. Yeah, we'll definitely be needing to get this horse. We might have to take it with us, because you can't just leave a good horse out like that, can you?"
No. I'll look to Kruger and Heinrich. I'll take this one back to the coach, just to make sure she doesn't canter off somewhere while you're searching. Just call out if you need me.
I move closer to you and trying to make sure that I'm not overheard by the coachman. "Good idea. I can smell the alcohol on him all the way from over here. I think the horse might get a little bit upset."
So, Heinrich and Kruger. Siegfrieda takes the horse back. That leaves the two of you to begin venturing forwards. What do you do?
I look to Heinrich. "Well, shall we just take a quick look around, see if we can see what's happened? If it just made its way here and there's nothing around, or perhaps there's like a crashed coach or something. Could be."
"Tell me, Kruger, what part of the Empire are you from again?"
"Nuln."
"Has ever in the history of Nuln a horse just wandered off to stay on a strange road deep in the woods?"
"Well, I don't know all that much about horses, but it doesn't sound very likely. Something has clearly happened here, and someone would have been out looking for it if it had just slipped its reins. Horses are expensive, as I said, and this is strange. Something is clearly afoot."
"They teach you how to defend yourself back home?" And I'll tap a hand on the hilt of my rapier.
I point to my short bow. "Well, I can take care of myself, I think."
"All right. Then, shall we?" And I'll make a dramatic courtly gesture off the, I'm assuming, quite muddy and terrible road into the quite muddier and more terrible surrounds.
Indeed, it is rather unpleasant as you turn around the corner. But again, so is most of the roads of the Empire, especially roads this deep in the forests. Still, at least you are able to eventually start seeing something ahead. Do you simply walk out on the road itself, or will you try and just use a little bit of the forest just to get a bit of cover to maybe, if you are to be seen by someone, have some camouflage or be hidden from view?
"Glory cannot be witnessed if you're hidden. So I'll leave Kruger to his own devices, but I am walking square down the damn center of that road."
And I am walking slightly hidden off the side of the road.
In that case, then, Heinrich, you get the best view, although Kruger, you can still see what's going on as well, you just have a couple of trees in the way. You see, Heinrich,
on the curve of the road, another wagon. Not quite as large as the one you're in. This one looks more like a two-person carriage. Currently overturned. Its wheels facing the sky. You see, just a bit before the front of the carriage, another horse. Sadly, this horse seems to have met an unpleasant end. It's currently on the ground, legs in the air, clearly twisted up in its own reins, and no longer moving. You also think you can see, just to the side, a body currently lying on the ground. The rain begins to intensify a little, so unless you get closer, you can't really make out any more details, but that's what you see from your current distance.
Before I walk into what the few stories I've heard assures me is an obvious trap, would this be an appropriate time to roll perception for the tree line on either side of the situation?
Of course. And give yourself a plus 10, as Kruger, I'm sure, is giving you a little bit of assistance here.
Certainly, yes.
Well, that plus 10 is going to make the difference. I have succeeded by 1 with 0 success levels.
Ooh, very close, very close. You look around, forest to the left, forest to the right. Again, you've just come around this corner. You pause. The rain falls. You don't hear anything. You don't see any movement coming from the trees, and you kind of give Kruger a look, and Kruger looks back at you, and you assume if he'd seen something, he would make a gesture of some kind. So the fact that he seems calm makes you feel that you don't think there's anything immediately in the woods, at least. You can't see anything on the road either, at this distance.
I will, without bothering to wonder if he knows it or not, throw Kruger an old hunter's hand signal to signify that I'm going to move forward, but he should cover me, keep an eye on the sides. That said, I will continue to take cautious steps forward. I don't want to get any closer to the body or the horse than I have to start gathering basic information. Chief upon that list, what has felled both man and beast?
You begin moving closer to the carriage. Kruger, you assume he wants you to keep going as well, with a weird hand gesture. I don't know if you actually would understand the hand gesture, would you?
No, unless it's used on the streets, I would not know what that means. But having seen that there is a crashed coach and bodies, well, that's interesting. And there doesn't seem to be anyone around. There's opportunity here to learn more and perhaps to salvage some riches. You never know.
So, while this is happening, Siegfrieda, you've managed to get back to your coach. You've managed to help the coachman take good care of the horse. The horse is secured. You see the other two heading off. You can catch up with them if you want.
I'm going to say something very quickly to the coach drivers. You see this horse? Of course you can. You might be seeing double, but you can definitely see this horse. Now, I've got a deal for you. I could take this and get off this coach right now. I'll ride on to Altdorf without you, but I don't think either of us want that. What I do know is you probably know the kinds of people who would buy these horses, and you don't need more than the ones leading this coach. So, as I've rescued this horse, I will sell it to you for the cost of my fare on your coach. In other words, give me a refund and you can have an extra horse.
Individuals look at you, clearly interested. This is a very good bargain. You paid 8 silver for your trip, and a horse like this could easily fetch for a crown or two.
It's true, but I'm no horse dealer. All I really want to do is have enough money in my purse to put a roof over my head for a while.
Why don't you roll a fellowship roll? Give yourself a 10 to this. They are slightly drunk. They are speaking amongst themselves, saying,
well, I mean, you know, theoretically, it's not really... We need to make sure it gets back to the inn and you know, the coaching house. But, I mean, you know, I suppose, you know, maybe we could cut a bit of a deal there. You've got shrewd thinking, madam. Shrewd thinking.
I rolled a 71. And even against a plus 10 on my fellowship, that's against 39.
One of the balding coachmen looks very eager to take up your proposition, but then the other one, one wearing quite a big red hat, says,
Now, miss. We are law-abiding citizens of the Empire. We will be taking this horse back to... What if the road wardens come and ask where we get the horse? No, we appreciate your offer. It's a lovely offer, madam, but come on, we don't want to get in trouble with no one. You don't either.
Well, I'm not just going to give it away.
Well, that's fine. We'll take care of it for the moment, and let's see what happens. Anyway, how are your friends doing?
You hear, by the way, the sounds of a lute being played from inside the wagon. Someone clearly is bored.
I laugh to myself. Oh, clearly the jester does have tricks. I point at the coachman. This isn't over, and I will scurry to catch up with my companions.
And you will do so as you, Heinrich, begin to close in on the coach. You begin to get a better look. Again, the coach has been turned over. That much is obvious. It looks like it hasn't been damaged too much, though. A little bit from obviously being turned over, but you think it probably could be uprighted again. Although, of course, you need a lot more people, a lot more rope. You look at the body. You can see what looks like some mail and a weapon. Clearly not the coachman, maybe a guardsman of some kind. You then notice you see some other bodies. There's someone who looks like a coachman, kind of poking his head out from underneath the horse. He's not moving, and the head is at a slightly unnatural angle. And then there is something very strange right under the coach itself. It's currently very difficult to see. You think it's a person, and they're wearing some very strange clothing. It's very ragged. But there's something weird about them. Something strange about the body. Like, it doesn't look like it should be that sort of shape. Maybe they've been really badly injured. You'd have to go much closer to investigate this.
Oh, well, that's unsettling. Would intuition give me a sense of... I don't know much about magic, but would intuition be able to tell me if it was indeed someone who'd been run over by the coach and is horribly mangled, or if something else was going on?
You can roll intuition?
I can, but I won't pass it. Not with -2 success levels.
No, you won't. You assess the scene. Still no movement. You don't think whatever's under the carriage, even if it looks strange, can still be alive, because half of it's under a carriage. Surely it's been crushed to death, whatever it is. But again, you can't really tell what's going on unless you go and have a good look. Same with the other corpses. Everything currently is dead. The rain is starting to fall quite loudly, meaning your hearing isn't as good as you'd like, but at least you don't see any movement.
Well, as the old Bretonian tales my instructor used to share with me say, there's no way towards the sun but the horizon, so I will proceed. Approaching the nearest body, immediate concerns would be, of course, an arrow pointing out the back of it. Other kinds of wounds. I refuse to believe that this is just a carriage accident that freak happened on the road, but I'm leaving my mind open to the possibility.
What about you, Kruger? You see Heinrich getting closer and closer to this wreck of a wagon. You can see everything he's seeing, just from a slightly different angle.
I also move closer to the carriage, and if there's a body close to me, there was one that was wearing a mail, a little bit more expensive, right? I'll just go and check what he's got on him, if he's perhaps got some kind of weapon that I might be able to utilize, or some coin that he's no longer in need of.
You go to check this body, kind of temporarily leaving the tree line. Yeah, he seems to have some levers on him, although granted you'd have to start disrobing him to get them off him. His weapon looks like just a standard club of some kind, nothing that fancy. You start patting him down and can't find anything on him that looks valuable, unfortunately.
That is a bit worrying. Does it look like he's been robbed, or... Because that is something that I know how that looks like. Or was he just someone who didn't happen to have a lot to begin with?
It's possible he's been robbed. You do notice there is a crossbow bolt in his neck, which perhaps is why he's dead.
I look worriedly towards the tree line and around us, fearing that I might meet the same fate if I don't keep my eyes very, very open here.
Heinrich, you notice Kruger go for the guardsman, it seems. You... Well, where do you go, then? You can investigate the person underneath the wagon, or you could try going round the wagon to the front to get a better look at what's happened there. You could even try looking in the wagon. You'll have to peek around a little. It's currently on its side, but you might be able to see something inside.
All good things in time. I will ask, have I noticed that Siegfrieda is approaching, or has she made her approach known?
If you were to turn around, would they notice you, Siegfrieda?
Yeah, I'm not all that equipped for, well, for stealth or the battlefield. I can scavenge the remnants, I guess. But in short, my presence should be obvious.
In that case, then I would cock my head to Siegfrieda and call attention to the body under the carriage. Not really needing to explain it, I feel like it's self-evident that that is weird. It might not fall in any of our skill sets, but it is certainly most adjacent to hers, as I understand it. And then I will continue around the wagon, again, more concerned with what's outside than in, just always a paranoid look. Circling, I guess, past the bodies as I do.
You begin moving around the wagon. Firstly, you get a better view of the front. Again, one horse, several crossbow bolts in it. It must have been shot at a few times and then fallen. You notice the driver seems to have been caught underneath the horse. Possibly, as the whole thing started tilting over, he lost control, fell down. That killed him. And then you look at the thing underneath the wagon, and you can't explain it, because you think you see the body of a man, or of an arm at least. Again, it's half under the wagon. And you also think it's equipped with a crossbow. Broken, it seems. But its head, it's like a wolf's head. But where a wolf would have fur, it's still a person. It's like a person's skull has just grown out in the shape of a wolf. It's very disturbing looking, and the individual is currently staring at you with black, dead eyes.
Oh, well, in that case, my investigation is not going to wait for Siegfried to arrive. I'm going to conduct a very scientific approach. I'm going to take out my sword and poke the body with it to see if it reacts or moves.
You go forward and poke this strange being. It does not move. However, you do realize you can now hear something inside the wagon. Something scrambling about. What do you do?
Does it sound like a big scramble? A man-sized scramble? A rat-sized scramble?
Roll intuition. Give yourself 10. Like, give yourself 20. Quite loud.
Your generosity does me no favors. I have still failed by two. Two success levels.
You don't know. It could be very large. It could be someone small. What is it? Is it someone scrambling? You are just on alert and not really thinking about what it could be. Rather, you're just alarmed.
I will summit this like the greatest of Imperial Mountains.
You decide to scramble up the coach. Luckily, there's a lot of things to hold on to, so it's not too difficult, but it still will be a climb check with no bonuses. It is raining, after all.
I am finally back on my groove. That is one success level.
The pair of you notice Heinrich very quickly reach for some of the ropes that are still attached to this poor wagon and use it to actually quite skillfully suddenly climb up to the side of the wagon, currently now the roof of the wagon. He jumps up there quite skillfully. Siegfrieda, do you do anything? You now see the scene as everyone else has seen it. Lots of bodies, quite suspicious looking, and one very odd looking body beneath the wagon.
Well, I'm focusing all my attention on the odd-looking body. If there's something new to study, I know it's partially covered by the fact that it's crushed, but I'm more or less trying to determine where the seam is between wolf and human, and analyze this. And I look up to my companions. We need to lift this wagon. We need to free this body. This is fascinating.
Yeah, I say. But let's see what's in there, because I guess I've heard the noises as well, or from coming from inside the coach.
No, you haven't, actually. It was rather subtle. You don't know why Heinrich has suddenly just jumped up onto the wagon.
I'm happy to explain. Hearing that conversation about the wagon being overturned, I'll say, not quite yet. There might be a survivor or something worse inside. And then I'll gesture down towards the door.
Oh, you don't say. As I get my bow ready, I knock an arrow, just ready to shoot something that might pop up. Might be someone who's very unhappy with us, or something that was responsible for all this. I don't know, but it feels better to be armed.
And as you speak, Kruger, you, Heinrich, see the door suddenly fly open. Clearly whatever was inside has managed to scramble out and climb up very quickly, which is a bit surprising. Something jumps out of the wagon and lands just a little bit away from you, Heinrich. You take a step back in surprise. It seems to be some sort of person, so you're not quite as terrified as you were that maybe inside this wagon was some sort of giant beast. But there's something very wrong with this person. They are crouching slightly. Their hands are clawed. They are holding some sort of weapon in their hand. It doesn't look like anything fancy. Nothing as fancy as your rapier. But still, weapons are deadly. Perhaps some sort of dagger, you think to yourself. The individual then looks up at you. They're wearing a big, heavy leather hood. But as you see their face, something is very wrong. Half their skin, instead of being what you'd expect, is scales, sort of covering the face in a very erratic fashion. One of the eyes is reptilian, while the other seems, thankfully, still human. And their mouth and throat seem misshapen. This would all be very startling, but for you, Heinrich, the most startling thing is that they are wearing something you recognize. An orange bandana with a little symbol on it. It's an anchor symbol. You've seen that bandana before. Long ago. It can't be. You saw that bandana last on a very close friend of your father's.
There's a bit of a tremor in my voice, something that I hope the bards will write out of this story when they write my book, but I have my rapier at the ready in a defensive position, and I will yell, "Halt! Stand fast, beast!" As if that should work.
The figure pauses in the rain.
Explain yourself!
Heinrich... Is that you, young Heinrich?
You recognize the voice, even if it's distorted terribly. Rolf. Old Rolf. This beast is old Rolf. The boatman who several times sailed with your father.
Rolf, is that... Is that... You can't be... What... And I will continue to make stammering, confused noises.
The being looks at you, begins snarling as the rain begins to fall much harder.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the legendary campaign The Enemy Within for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay 4th Edition, published by Cubicle 7. In this first part of the series, we are tackling Book 1, Enemy in Shadows. Joining us as players in this series are none other than Aaron Hammonds from Queen's Court Games and our dear friend Matthew Dawkins. The music was made by Flowers for Body Snatchers, Word Clock, Metatron Omega, Aegir Sonus, Apocryphus, Halgrath, and Northumbria, featuring a number of collaborations with other artists, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient for your gaming table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschelbert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Lanch, Julian, Cameron, Xavier, and Anton for their generous support. And we'd of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Call of Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, Skaven are definitely not real.